Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to kind of switch some things a little bit tonight. We're still in Hebrews 13. I was going back over it. I know I've been talking about realms of authority for a while. And, you know, we're in the last chapter, and I thought maybe it's kind of winding down a little bit. But I hit something today. It's one verse, actually, and it seems to be very simple, yet it's very profound. And I don't know what it's doing sandwiched in between where it is, but apparently, I mean, God has an order for everything. I don't believe there's anything in my Bible that's out of order, that's out of place, that's out of whack, that, well, maybe it looked better over here. I just leave it alone and leave it the way it is. And this verse here, just it kind of seems like it probably should maybe go somewhere else, but God's got it right there. And so I'm going to kind of give you what's before and what's after, because the Bible says, Paul tells us to walk circumspectly. And that means looking around in a circle, okay? And number one, that's good if you're just in your walk of life. It's good to just be aware and know what's going on, amen? Be, you know, but when I study the Bible, if I'm studying a word, I'm using, you know, software or whatever, and I'm going from one scripture verse to another, if I want to get an understanding of it, I'll back up a little bit, and I'll just kind of read around that verse and kind of get an idea of what's going on and what's being said. So I want us to look at verse 7 of Hebrews 13. This is what we've been talking about biblical authority. Remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God. And now that one of the things that I can kind of see is the connection here to the phrase, the word of God. The word of God. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And now look at verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now somebody, that you may not want to shout and just have a big revival time over that one verse, but I want you to consider, I want us to consider tonight as we look into the Word, just the profoundness and the blessing of a God who does not change. A God who does not change. He is consistent. He is the same. There's something, and I learned this as I grow older. You know, talk about folks that are dying, and I remember the two of the most precious people to me both sets of grandparents. I had on my dad's side, it was his mom and dad. On my mom's side, it was her mom. And they used to live in the same area there in central Arkansas. Me, mom, and Peepaw, my dad's mom and dad lived in Jacksonville. And when we went down there for a visit, that's where we would spend most of the time, was there at their little house in Jacksonville. And to this day, I can still smell how that house smelled. Smell will stay with you longer than just about anything. And I can just, as I'm opening the door in my mind's eye, I can feel that warm smell coming in my, I can smell it to this day. And it's a very, very precious thing that I have, was their house. And I remember the day that Meemaw died. We went down for the funeral, and I borrowed a video camera, and I just shot video, Jared, of their house. Just walked all the way through it, and I videotaped everything inside that house that I could to preserve it as a memory for me, because that was just a very, very special place that to me. There was a lot of love there, and it was just, I look forward to going down there. Well, after both, you know, me and mom and Peepaw died, my dad and his sister, my aunt, who lived down there next to them, they decided to sell the property and split it between them, you know, it's just, you know, whatever. And some people moved in, and first thing they did was, my dad, when he was a boy, planted 3 rows of pine trees. He planted them when they were saplings. And by the time I came on the scene, those things were 50, 75, 100 feet tall. They were huge. The first thing that guy did when he bought that property is called a logging company in and had those logged out of there and tore down of there. And I'm just going, rrr. Then they tore down my meemaw's grapevine. She had a real nice grapevine. She used to pull grapes off there every year. Rrr. They cut down Peepaw's fig tree. Rrr. And I'm getting mad. Then they made changes to the outside of the house. And now I'm just... Because what I wanted was to, every time I went down there, to see that exactly the same. And it doesn't stay the same. It changes. Some new people come in and they do different things. They don't know what that house means to me, and they don't care. So they change it. Or you go back to the old place where you grew up and you think everything's going to be the same. I remember we went down to Donovan We were trying to look around to find out your old stomping grounds, and a lot of that stuff had changed. Wasn't sure if we could recognize it or not. Wasn't sure if we could find it. And everything in this world, especially the very precious things to us, we go back to them years later, and they're people that you used to know long time ago, and you got comfortable with, and you got to be friends with, and you're gone for 10, 15 years, and you go back to them, hey, let's, and no, they're all different, and you're all different too, and it just doesn't work. I have a God who I knew as a boy, and I knew him a certain way as a boy. Had I just left him and gone out into the world and just done everything in the world for my life and then gone back to that God later on in life, I would have found that he is exactly the same way he was when I was a little boy. I want to tell you something that's sweet, that's precious to us. We like that. There's got to be one thing in our life that never changes. And that is our God. Amen? And it is, and I'm gonna mash these two verses together. In fact, let's look at verse 9 before we do it. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. You know what that, so watch the sandwich here. Here we have mentioning in verse 7, remember those who have the rule over you which have spoken the word of God. So we have the word of God whose faith follow. Then he said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. And then he said, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Do you see the connection here? Christ is in the middle here. And he said, follow the man who's going to follow the faith of the word of God because he's not going to change. Then he said, the reason why he's not going to change is because the faith of the person that, or who, the person he has the faith in is not going to change, has never changed, and is always going to be the same. And so he said, if that man is hooked into that God and that Bible that doesn't change, you follow that faith. You follow that man. Amen? And what do we see going on right now, Steve? What do we see going on in the churches everywhere? Find me a church that still uses the King James Bible. Now, they do over here at Second Baptist. They still use it. And I know Brother Jim Waymire, Sister Waymire's son, he's now the pastor over there. And if you get mad at me, don't like me, go to Second Baptist. Amen? They'll still preach the King James Bible. Or if you don't like it over there, because this big church, go out here to Keith the Heights, Brother Randy Casey, he preaches that old book. He preaches it straight. I'll tell you something. That man has got a love for people that he loves people. And if you just want somebody to love on you, he's a lot like his brother Ron. You go out to his church. Amen. There's still some churches that are preaching the King James Bible in Jefferson County. Somebody say amen. I hope, Lord, there's somebody here Sunday. Okay? I just advertise for all the other churches. But listen, it don't matter to me. But I'm just saying to you, how many churches now that you can go to still preach out of the one Bible? Back when I was a kid, you could go to this church and that church and hear this and thee and thou and thus and all that. You can hear that. You don't hear that anymore. You don't hear that. You hear messages. You're not even sure if they're using the Bible. You don't even know if they're quoting Scripture or not. They'll jumble it up with, well, Dr. So-and-so said this, and so-and-so said this, and whoever said this, and then they'll mingle a Bible from a translation you have never even read, never heard of, but it matches what this guy wants you to believe. And that's what they do, by the way. They don't get their doctrine and their ideas from one Bible. They get their ideas and their philosophies from out here in the world. Then they ransack all these different translations and find one that matches what they're saying. That's how they do it, by the way. I don't know if you know that. And so we have churches now that have an ever-changing wind of Bibles, of ideas, of philosophies, of ways of salvation, or ways that you can have this, or ways that you can have that. And I still think that you're best served by following someone that'll have faith in an unchanging book. Whether it's me, or I just got a phone call. Just remember, Brother George Limelin is on his way up to this church as we speak from Cape Girardeau. He's going to spend the night here for a couple days. He is a home missionary up in Minnesota in an Indian tribe up there. And I'll tell you what, he always has a fight on his hand up there. You pray for him. But you know what I know about George Limelin? He believes this book. If he'd have been here earlier, he'd have been preaching tonight. He believes this old book. Okay? Brother Mike Hutzel's coming in a month from now. Are y'all ready? You know what I know about Mike? Believes this old book. And he's not going to change it. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. What does that say about our Lord Jesus Christ? What is that saying about him? Number one, Jesus did not just come up on the scene in Matthew chapter 2 or Matthew chapter 1 or Luke chapter 2. Jesus was not just an afterthought of God that said, well, you know what, this law thing's not working out. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll have a son and maybe he can figure it out for me. I would just leave it in his hands. That's not how it was. When you know what Jesus said, and he told the Jews there of his day that really rattled their cage. You know what he said? They said, we have Abraham to our father. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew it. Listen, them old boys had read Moses from the time they were 3 and 4 years old, and they knew who that was. And they said, this man just declared to us that he is I am that I am. And that's why they hated him, because he thought it, according to Paul, he thought it not robbery to be equal with who? God. That's why they hated him. Don't let anybody mess your mind up on the eternity of Jesus Christ. He always was, is, shall be. My King, in fact, take your Bible. Turn to the 33rd book of the Bible. Now, those of you at home, you can pull up the King James Pure Bible Search software and click on the 33rd book of the Bible and cheat. I'm just going to tell you here, sitting here, to turn to Micah. Micah chapter 5. Let me tell you what my King James Bible, the book that doesn't change, let me tell you what it says about the one who was born in Bethlehem. You see, him being born in Bethlehem, that was not his beginning. That was not his creation. That was not his origin. Micah chapter 5. It's taken way too long for you to get to Micah. Genesis, Exodus, never mind. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Do you remember? Herod wanted to know, where is he that is to be born king of the Jews? And the scribes of the day knew the prophecy, and they knew where it was. And they said, well, it says right here, it says in the book of Micah, that it's in Bethlehem Ephratah. And so Herod went looking for him in Bethlehem. And so anyway, he's quoting this verse. He said that, yet out of these shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You know what that means? Let me give you a little physics lesson. The universe that you and I live in, this planet, the moon, all the planets, the sun, all of the stars in our galaxy, and then all of the galaxies that exist in our universe, they were all created in 6 days. And if your God can't do that, my God can beat your God. Amen. My God can beat up your God. If your God cannot do that in 6 days, out of nothing, that's what my God can do. So he created it all in 6 days. And when he first created it, along with creating the expanse of the universe, he created time, because the very first three words in the Bible are, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created time, he created space, and he created matter. Before he created those three things, time did not exist. It was called everlasting. It is everlasting, and even the phrases past and future don't count outside of the universe. I don't get it either, because I'm looking at your face going, I'm drawing a blank here. I don't understand it either. I do not conceive of anything that does not go along with time. But this Bible teaches us about eternal and everlasting, and it is without time. And the prophecy in Micah 5 was that Christ came forth, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. He was an everlasting before Genesis 1:1. And he, along with us, will be an everlasting after Revelation 22. Somebody say amen. Okay? And then we'll get it. We'll go, oh, that! Okay? But right now, we cannot comprehend it. We cannot understand it. Now, let me tell you about Bibles and how they shouldn't change. This says that Jesus is everlasting. The same yesterday, today. There's another word without time, forever. That word is without time. It has no boundary of time whatsoever to it. So we know he's eternal, he's everlasting. Some of these guys, Arnold Murray's one of them, a bunch of others, I think the Jehovah's Witness want to teach that. If Brady were here, he'd say that. And I think the Mormon Church and some of these other off-breeds, and even some guys, you ought to be careful about what websites you're reading to get your stuff from. Because if their doctrine says that Jesus had a beginning, their doctrine's wrong. He's always been, always is, and always shall be. That's what this Bible says. Now, if I were to go get my NIV, the NIV would say in Micah, and does say in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, whose origins are from ancient times. They're telling you that Christ, your Savior, your God, had a beginning. That's not my Christ. The Christ of the NIV and the Christ of this King James are two different Jesus Christs. They're not the same one. Theirs had a beginning. Ours never had a beginning. He's always been of old, from everlasting. I almost said it again. I almost said from ancient times. That's the NIV. He has always been of old, from everlasting. Let me show you some more verses that kind of give you an idea of that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. That's in verse 4. In verse 8, Jesus himself says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That's something I remember Brother Reg Kelly was up, last time he was up here preaching, he encountered a couple of Mormons on their bicycles. They was riding around through Norwood, and they made the mistake of pulling up to him. And they started in with their spiel, and Reg, now he's kind of calmed down a little bit. He said, I'm going to ask you guys one thing, one question. You say that my Jesus and your Jesus are the same one. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty? And he said, the lead Mormon, they started taking him down this trail and that rabbit trail and down this hole and this and that and the other. And he asked me, he said, now guys, he said, I'm not playing with you. He said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty? And they said, well, you know, and understand, you know, this and that and the other. And he finally, and he said, I could see the lead one tightening up. And he said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, Almighty God? And finally the guy said, no, he's not. And he said, we don't have the same Jesus. Because the Jesus of my Bible is the Almighty God. Always was, is, and shall be. You say, Pastor, I need a little help with that. Let me read you Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. This is John. He gets to see in heaven. The curtain's been opened. He's looking in heaven. He's seen the throne of God. And he said, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You know what that, here, watch this now. In the same book, Revelation, you have John to the seven churches, grace and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. You say, well, okay, that's God. And Revelation 1:8, here is Jesus himself saying, I am the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and is to come, the Almighty. And then you have the angels of heaven testifying day and night, nonstop. That's what these angels do. They do nothing but say these three passages. Holy, holy, holy. You know why three times? Huh? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, I was taught smart stuff in Bible college. Just kind of give you a little illustration of Bible college kind of teaching. They teach you this Greek and this Hebrew, and all it has forms and mannerisms that, you know, was back in ancient times. You need to learn this so you can understand it the way it really is. And back in ancient Greek, well, when something was repeated over and over, it showed that it was magnified, multiplied three times over. And I went, oh, so holy, holy, holy. So he's like, holy, holier, most holiest. And the professor would say, yeah, no, you got it. But I never read that in here. Didn't see it. But I know how God is. God's ordered. Holy to the Father. Holy to the Son. Holy to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Three. Lord God Almighty. Which was and is to come. Three sections, three ideas apiece in each one of them. And I believe God is Father, Son, or Word, and Holy Ghost. Amen? It just perfectly matches. But there, it's saying right there that the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, is identified with Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, who is Jesus himself saying, I am he which was and is to come, the Almighty. Your Bible will tell you that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. Amen? Well, I like it. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 41:4. Turn there in your Bible. Isaiah 41:4. Isaiah 41:4. I like seeing things like this. Now remember, the one we've identified who was and is to come is Jesus Christ. And yet it's the Father. And yet it's the Holy Ghost. And if we were to go to Isaiah, 9? And his name, for unto us a child is born and a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, and then what? The Mighty God. And then what? The Everlasting Father. Wait a minute. A child is going to be born who is the Son, but he is the Everlasting Father. I didn't say I understood it, but I believe it. Amen? Because here's Jesus, when he finally grows up and he's talking, he says, oh, by the way, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Because I look like him. I saw Wayne Dealman today. He was at the funeral. Wayne, every springtime, he's got a roadside stand there at P Highway, and he sells some of the best tomato plants you've ever seen in your life. They are amazing. And he plants probably 500-600 of these, and he sells them every spring. And I told him, I said, my boy Matthew, he said he's going to take over the garden this year, so I'm going to send him to him. And he said, now, I ain't seen Matthew since then. I said, don't worry. He's about 6 foot 20 inches tall. He's as big as me, and he looks like me with red hair. He said, I gotcha. Okay? See, he kind of looks like me. Poor kid. Hey, that's the part that looks like his mother. You better watch out. And she's got a spoon. Let me read this to you. Isaiah chapter 4. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen? If you see me, see, because we can't look at the Father's face, we'll die. So God sent an intermediary, his Son, Jesus Christ, who was in the image of Almighty God for us. So Isaiah 41:4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. Look at your Bible, look down at your King James Bible, L-O-R-D, all capital letters. Who in here knows what that means? When you see in your King James, L-O-R-D in all capital letters. Does anybody know what that means?
It means the Lord.
It means the Lord. Amen. Well, let's stand and be. You know what? That you say, well, don't make fun of him. That's simple, but it's profound. It means he's the Lord. L-O-R-D. But it's capitalized in your King James. Why? The translators of the King James Bible. They were being led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you something. Every place in the New Testament where it's quoting the Old Testament, where it says capital L-O-R-D, it happens to say Lord in the Greek and in the English. When you find in the Old Testament capital L-O-R-D in all capital letters, what that signifies is the translators found the very name of God in the text. The four Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Vav, He, which our Bible tells us is Jehovah. I believe it's Jehovah. Okay? And some people, Chris, have just eaten me up, or tried to, because they say that our King James Bible took out God's real name, Yod, He, Vav, He. And I went looking in the scriptures. God, I don't believe that. So you help me prove them to be wrong. And it occurred to me that they translated it right, not as Jehovah, but as Lord, because every place in the New Testament where it's quoting one of these verses with the Yod Heh Vav Heh in it, whoever wrote the book of Matthew, which was Matthew, wrote Lord. The word Lord in Greek, Kyrios. Paul, when he quoted one of these Old Testament passages, you know what he said? Lord. It was the Holy Ghost who said that the Yod Heh Vav Heh, God's name, Jehovah, should be translated as Lord. It wasn't the evil King James translators. It wasn't the Illuminati. It was the Holy Ghost. Your Bible is right. Amen. Rule number one, no mistakes in the Bible. Rule number two, if somebody says there's a mistake in the Bible, refer to rule number one. There are no mistakes in the Bible. Amen. Not in the King James. So watch this. What is this saying then? Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, the first and with the last, I am He. So who is Jesus? Who was the first and the last? Who is Jesus? Lord. Jehovah, Lord.
Amen.
What the thief on the cross call Him? Lord. Amen? Boy, I like it. Now watch this, okay? The verse there in Hebrews says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, For I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D again, so we know what the Hebrew was, we know what the name was, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Hebrew letters Jehovah, it's Lord, for I am the Lord, I change not. So there's a double witness right there. Jesus is as much God as His Father and the Holy Spirit are. They're not to be detracted or separated from one another, and yet they are distinct, and yet they are the same. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Again, I didn't say I understood it, but I believe it. And I don't know what some guys are doing. They're trying to make it sound logical, so they'll reduce the Godhead down to something we can understand, and in doing so, they change and alter what the Bible says. I just say, rule number one, believe it. Rule number two, if you don't understand it, rule number one, believe it. Amen? I don't understand it, but I believe it. And so I believe that Jesus was Almighty God. He is the God that changes not. He always was. Let me throw this one at you. Here is Christ, Jesus Christ, who was, is, and shall be. And then if you look at Revelation 17, when the angel is going to show John the mystery of the woman and the beast that she is riding on. And this is what he says about the beast, the Antichrist. He was and is not and yet shall be. You see the difference? I don't understand the difference, but there is a clear difference in the scripture and how the Bible is describing the Antichrist. He's like the opposite of Christ. When Christ, He always was, is, shall be. The Antichrist was, but He is not. Right now, He doesn't exist. Or He is not. But yet, He shall be one of these days. He's waiting for a future event. Again, I don't understand all that. But anyway. Now, It's already after 8 o'clock, and really the gist of the message I've not gotten into yet. I was just having the fun part. And it's okay for us to have a little fun, amen? Let's just have fun with the King James Bible and just talk about how good it is and how right it is. And the fact that we serve a Jesus who always was, is, shall be, and He never changes. Never changes. In fact, let me tell you where I'm going with next Wednesday. And I may, this be a good opportunity for me to make this last little part into a great big sermon, all right? Let me read this part to you and you just ponder this. 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, brethren, I would that you should not be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat. You know what he's saying? The meat that the Israelites ate in the wilderness is the same meat that you and I eat off of today. And he's talking about this. He said it was the same. You know why it's the same? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. Amen. He wasn't a different God back in the Old Testament. Same God. Then it said, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, and in your King James it's a capital R, so we know who that is, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And Paul said it. Paul said that in the wilderness, when they ate bread from heaven, Jesus came and said, that was me. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I'm going to have to study that verse because the way I remember it, and I may be wrong, if somebody can look that up in 3 seconds, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He refers to himself in the present tense and then in the past tense. I am the bread that came down in past tense from heaven. Okay? But the bottom line is the same meat that you and I partake of, this Bible, they ate bread from heaven. That was Christ. The same drink, the water of the Word that you and I drink, that's what they drink. Because Christ was the same then, and He is now. And see, the Jews couldn't handle the Christ that was then. And so now, God has put them back here. But see, He's coming again. And you know what they're going to find out, Tammy? They're going to find out that the Messiah that they have been looking for all these years, is the same one that they followed in the wilderness. They just didn't know who it was. Because He is the same yesterday, today, forever. I want to expound on that next Wednesday night. All right, let's stand to our feet. Oh, it's been good. Good to be here. Amen. Amen. I wasn't beating you over the head with authority and you better do what you're told. And I wasn't hitting everybody up with anything like that. It's just good to get some refreshing things and to be secured in what it is that we believe and stand on. And I'm telling you, every time this Bible gets attacked by someone, I'm able to go in, or you can do this. You're able to just go into the Bible and say, well, actually, it doesn't say that. It says this, and you're wrong. Amen? God's never going to lose the contest. So just trust Him. Okay? Just trust Him. Good to be here tonight.